Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, and reading this full chapter. Now, these are the territories which the sons of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the households of the tribes of the sons of Israel, apportioned to them for an inheritance, by the lot of their inheritance, as the Lord commanded through Moses, for the nine tribes and the half-tribe. For Moses had given inheritance of the two tribes and the half-tribe beyond the Jordan, but he did not give an inheritance to the Levites among them. For the sons of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they did not give a portion to the Levites in the land except cities to live in, with their pasture lands for their livestock and for their property. Thus the sons of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they divided the land. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to you, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore to me on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully.' Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke, these 45 years, from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country, about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there, with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out, as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. We have, to this point in our series, in our study of Joshua, been going chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and not omitting a single point. But now, as we come in our Joshua series, we come to a very select choice point, and the pace is now picked up for us in the story of the unfolding of the people taking possession of the land. The Israelites have been brought by God to a very select geographical footprint, and we are told in detail of how they entered under God's empowering hand. But now, from the middle of Joshua chapter 10 and onwards, we read of victories in rapid succession rather than in lengthy detail. We read of a victory at Libna and at Lachish, at Gezer and Eglon and Hebron and Debir. And that brings us quickly to the end of chapter 10. Then in chapter 11, we read of a conglomerate, a mighty conglomeration of northern power that is raised up against the Israelites. And once again, as we have heard before in verse 6, the Lord says to Joshua, Do not be afraid of them, for tomorrow at this time I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. Now this was quite a gathering of troops. Verse 4 tells us that the people were as many as the sand that is on the seashore, with very many horses and chariots. They might have trembled, but God said, "Don't do that." And God granted them victory once again. And we read in verse 20, "For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts to meet Israel in battle, in order that he might utterly destroy them, that they might receive no mercy, but that he might destroy them just as the Lord had commanded Moses." Seems harsh, seems very rigid, but we need to remember that these people, God had passed by their wickedness, not just for years or decades, but for hundreds of years. When God first brought Abram into the land of promise, he said, "It's not time for you to receive it yet." But the wickedness, the evil, the sin of the people is not yet full. God was patient with these people. God knew that there would be a time of judgment coming, but God waited and waited and waited until it was time and God said, "Enough." That's good. That's a good word for us, that we do not toy, that we do not play, that we do not tinker with what God's plan is, but that we take his word when we first hear it, and that we don't repeatedly put it aside and push it away, but that we hear it, that our hearts not become hardened. And verse 23 of chapter 11 says, "So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes. Thus the land had rest from war." Chapter 12, a catalog of victories. Chapter 13, work that was yet to do. Joshua is described as old and advanced in years. When the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years, and very much of the land yet remains to be possessed." So there was yet work to be done, still victories to be won. But we come especially today to chapter 14, and this is what I most especially want to focus upon. It's one of the most exciting and thrilling chapters in all of the Old Testament, as this man, who was one of only two, Joshua and Caleb, only the two of them had been there when they marched out of Egypt as adult males, and they had marched through the wilderness for 40 full years, while all their contemporaries fell in the sand, all of the others gone. Here these two old men standing alone in the midst of a younger generation that had arisen in their forebearers' place. Now, Caleb, he still was a man of vision and a man of dreams, a man who took God at his word. That's what he was when he was just 40 years old, and when he was sent by Moses along with the 11 others to go into the land to spy it out and to see, is it indeed what God has for us? At that time, he had come back and he had said, "Yes, it is a good land, and let's get on with the task. Let's get on with the job that God has called us to. Yes, there are giants in the land, but more exciting the story that will be told of how that God will give it to us." Whereas 10 of the other spies said, "Yes, there are giants in the land, and yes, there is great clusters of grapes. See what we have brought back with us. But we are just as little bugs in their eyes. We'll be squashed in the first moment of battle. There is no hope for us. We'd better pack it up and go back to Egypt." Well, Caleb was a man of vision. He was a man who believed God that he would fulfill his word, that the very God who had brought them with a mighty hand out of Egypt and through the wilderness that year, that he was the one who would take them in. Well, here we come. After all of these years, we haven't heard from Caleb, but now once again, he steps forward and he takes center stage along with those round about him of the tribe of Judah. Hear his testimony again. You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses. Yes, Joshua knew it. And those who were round about him, they knew it because they had read it again. You know what was spoken about you and me. It was something that I'm sure Joshua, in the pressures of leadership, had cherished in his heart, knowing that God was going to give them rest. And Caleb takes them back in their mind's eye. 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me out, and I brought back to him as it was in my heart. Jesus said it is out of the heart that either good or evil comes. And Caleb, he was a man with a sterling heart, a man who believed God. That means he was a man who was full of faith. He was faithful. He brought back words such as what was in his heart. But the rest of them made the people's hearts melt with fear. But I followed the Lord my God fully. I tried to stand up against the onslaught of negativity and negativism. But he said it just wasn't enough. But Moses swore to me on that day, the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children in perpetuity, forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. That was Moses' testimony about what Caleb had done. Caleb now says, that was 45 years ago. I'm now 85. And some of the younger generation, they would like to have me just sort of shuffle off. But in verse 11, he says, I am still as strong today as I was then. Now, he clarifies what he means by this. He says, as my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. That means that when he got up in the morning, he was just feeling as good as he was at 85 as he was at 40. Now then, here's his request. Give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke to me on that day. Caleb had it in his heart that it wasn't just a human voice that had spoken to him, but that God had spoken through his servant Moses. Caleb says, now I'm here to take delivery of this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there. Who are the Anakim? They were the giants of the land. They were the strong of the strong. And Caleb says they had great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. Give me this mountain is the way the King James reads it. Some of our newer translations, they sort of downgrade and don't make it quite as dramatic. Hill country. Well, here Caleb says, I want what I have been promised. I want to see God work once again. I've been thrilled to see the Jordan part and to see the people marching through. I've been thrilled to see Jericho fall down flat. And I've been thrilled at victory after victory. But there is a particular part that I am keenly interested in. And I claim that for my own. Yes, I rejoice in all of the land which God has given to his people. as a stewardship, as a sacred entrustment, but there is a particular part that I want to claim for my own. God bless the memory of Caleb and what he would speak to our hearts today. Inside of your bulletin, I want you to reach for a page that was included there. Looks just like this on the one side, but the flip side is different for each and every one of us. As we have mentioned time and time again, we believe that God has brought Faith Bible Church to this part of Winnipeg's historic West End for a key purpose. Not that we might simply gather in from all parts of Winnipeg and far beyond to worship the Lord here and then to buzz off to our own homes and businesses, schools, wherever that might be, to our own communities. We believe that God has brought us to this place that we might have a very significant impact with the gospel right here in what we call our Jerusalem. We've drawn the borders of this, our Jerusalem, as Ellis Avenue on the north, Arlington on the east, the Assiniboine River on the south, and Strathcona-Denison Place on the west. And right in the middle, and you can look on the map which I've placed this morning in the entryway, you'll see that 600 Minto Street, where we are at this very moment, is almost exactly in the middle of this, our Jerusalem. God has brought us here that we might share the gospel and that we might proclaim his good news right here, as well as where we live and where we go to school and where we work and where we rub shoulders with family and friends and acquaintances of every kind. We've been gearing up most especially towards a distribution of this Y book. We have obtained 4,000 copies of it here in our Jerusalem at the end of the summer, in about 50 days' time. You will remember that when we came to this property, it was 50 days roughly from the time that we took possession of quite a worn-looking building and changed the inside, at least, into what you see it as it is now. A lot can happen in 50 days. I am believing that as we go to prayer, that a lot can happen. Often when the Y book goes to a city or to a particular place and focuses an evangelistic effort there, they gear up for up to a year of prayer time and advance work. We are going to squeeze that, and I know many of you, as we have encouraged you, have been praying already for our Jerusalem. But most especially during the next 50 so days, 7 weeks, we are going to band together to be praying. Now, I've taken it upon myself and presumed upon your good graces, and I am presuming, rather than asking you and having you sign up, I am going to presume that you want to see the gospel. And I'm presuming that you believe that prayer is a force and that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so I am going to give each of you, as you already have it in your hand, this copy that you might pray for those specific addresses on your list that are before you over the next 50 or so days and beyond, as the book is distributed and then as people start to look at it and as the Spirit of God works in their hearts. On the front of the page, and this is what is consistent on every one of them, there are prayer notes. First of all, we note that this is a shared evangelistic and between Faith Bible Church, Faith to Live By, and the Y Encounter. And as you drop down to the section that says, pray daily, that God will send a revival to our Jerusalem in Winnipeg's historic West End, that you pray for this church's leadership, that you pray specifically for the schools that are here, though they are not, many of them are not in session right now, but that you pray for teachers and administrators and for the staff. We would not be neglectful of the political leaders of this part of Winnipeg. The MP, the Honorable Pat Martin, for the MLA, the Honorable Andrew Swan, as well as for the City Councillor, Cindy Gilroy. We also have here, just down the street, down Minto, we have the Minto Armories, and so the Canadian Armed Forces have a very visible presence here in our Jerusalem, as do the RCMP, just a block down Portage Avenue. And then we also pray that God will raise up the prayer partners, the people, and the finances for the Y Encounter to deliver a book to every household in Greater Saskatoon. What we are doing here, we are linking arms with what is simultaneously happening in Saskatoon, North Battleford, and other places round about North and West Saskatchewan, and that people receiving the Y books will respond to the gospel. You see, the people were brought by God 3,500 years ago to where God wanted them to be. It was of His doing. We have been brought here after we had did our best to try and figure out how to find a home base of our own, and were utterly frustrated. God did it in very short order, and all praise to Him. So just like God brought the Israelites out of Egypt and to the land that He had appointed to them, God brought us from where we were to this place. But God had battles for the people so many years ago to fight, and victories for them to win. But how did that happen? It wasn't in their own strength, for they could have been obliterated time and time again. And as you know, at Ai, a small force defeated the people there first, but then they were victorious as they came back to the Lord in humility and in repentance. So here once again we come. There are battles for us to wage, but it's not with sword, and it's not with spear, and it's not with shield, but it's in the power of prayer and in the power of God, that lives might be changed for the gospel, that men and women might come to know who He is, and that they might delight in Him and surrender themselves to Him. So once again, you have what I'm calling Caleb's portion. It's not all of our Jerusalem that you specifically are praying for, but you're praying for a portion. It might be, if it's a small street, every house on that street. If it's a larger street, you might be praying just for a block or two. Now, some people might say, well, look, I would love to be a part of this, but I can't deliver the books. I just can't work that. Others will help in actually delivering the books. If you want to deliver the books at the end of the summer, specifically to those addresses that you have been praying for, you are welcome to do that. But right now, this is preparation time. And this is for us to focus in and to say, Lord, I am going to pray that there would be a mighty work in these homes, in these lives that are represented here. Now, some of you might say, well, the list that I have, it's not exactly the street that I'd like to pray for. I can fix that. We can work with you on that. I've taken the liberty myself of choosing a list that includes many houses on Evanson Street. For several years, I went to 188 Evanson for violin lessons, and I'm acquainted with walking up and down that street or driving up and down that street, and so I want to be praying for that street that is just immediately west of Arlington and on the south side of Portage Avenue. I want to myself be delivering books there, but in advance, I want to be praying myself for those who live along that street. If this just doesn't work for you for whatever reason, here's what I want you to do. When we dismiss later on this morning, just leave the page in the hymn holder. Someone else will take a hold of it, and they will pray for it and be blessed, and just don't live under a cloud. God was doing mighty things 3,500 years ago in bringing a people to where he wanted them to be, that a great work might be done, that his name might be praised forever and ever. I believe that God is wanting to do that very same thing again here today. I'm bringing a more pointed application to the message of today than likely I have ever done so before. But I ask you, most sincerely, would you continue to link arms and to see what God will do, and that we might praise him evermore in days ahead. Lord, I pray that you would help us to rise up in strength and rise up with vision, even as Caleb so long ago, he came, what would some would say, at the very tail end of his life, but yet he was looking forward. He was looking forward in faith, and he was remembering the promise that you had made. And he was saying, that still sounds so good. Here I am to take delivery. Lord, I would just believe that you are the same God today that you were back then. And I would want to say, Lord, we want to believe your promises and trust in your word, and to not simply have faith in the name of our church, but to truly be a people of faith, leaning hard upon you, trusting you, acknowledging you at every point and at every turn, and seeing your great victories accomplished in the strength that you provide. As you strengthen the arms of the people back then, so strengthen our arms today. Strengthen our faith, even though it might seem like it's just like a mustard seed, so tiny, so small, so many things to oppose and to push us back. Lord, may we go forward in the sweetness of our Savior to win mighty victories for the cross here in West Winnipeg. And then, Lord, I would simply believe that this would be a starting point, that as a mighty working of your Spirit takes place here in this part of Winnipeg, that it would then start to affect and permeate and influence every part of our city and beyond. So, Lord, do a great work, we pray, not for the praise of man or organization or a specific local church body, but that you might be praised all through eternity as you bring men and women to yourself and to rejoice in so great salvation. So, Lord, work. Hear us. Hear us and help us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.